Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The last minute of this show for you, BK, was like watching Quentin Grimes take an open jump shot. That's what it was
I've had better moments.
You've come in with a lot of promise, but that's what it looked like yesterday. It was at the point yesterday where you guys know I don't cheer for KU. I was mad as just somebody who enjoys basketball. Like, stop shooting. I just kept screaming at the television. Like, you know that old saying, like, there's a reason why they keep leaving you open? No one was around him for a reason, because it's not like he was just missing. He wasn't close.
No, he was deep on the majority of them, too.
He wasn't close on shots yesterday. And you could see it.
Yeah.
Like, he would shoot short and then try to overcompensate and then shoot long. Like, it was just really bad yesterday for Quentin Grimes. Today's pop quiz was presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's prize was $25 to Twin Peaks. BK, let's see if you can redeem yourself. What was today's pop quiz?
Today's pop quiz was 13 going on 30. I mentioned in my random facts that I am a big fan of Mark Ruffalo. He was the star in that movie.
I've never seen that movie before. Really? Seems kind of obvious. What is it about?
I mean, it's basically your typical rom-com. She's 13 going on 30. So it
who's she? I don't know anything about the movie.
I've never heard anything about it. Fanning, have you seen 13 going on 30?
I have not. I always thought like the title was kind of creepy, so I never clicked on it.
So she like goes back in time and then fast forwards back into being 30, and that's kind of the idea of the show.
Who's the female character in it?
I'll have to look that up.
I can tell you're a huge fan of 30 going on 30.
It's a good movie. I haven't seen it in like 10 years.
I've seen like 30.
It's great. I could the way you sold it to us
was
I can't wait to run home and watch it. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will all take player props for K-State and Texas today. And KU reminds me of a very popular character in a movie. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll do Meanwhile in the News with a story that you absolutely have to hear. So, I was thinking this of my guy Tom Martin. Somebody's got to get on this. You know what we need? We need an Ochai Agbaji documentary. Because I don't know how familiar you guys are with this story. So I was reading a story a couple days ago in the Kansas City Star. And I remember when I first heard about him, it was like September of last year. I keep up with recruiting like way more than the average person.
You're like Binkley when it comes to basketball recruiting.
Yeah, Binkley might be even stronger than me. Binkley's obsessive about it. I follow it. I'm an enthusiast of recruiting. I didn't know who Ochai Agbaji was until about September. And then at that point, it was kind of everybody was like, at some point, you knew the KU offer was going to come because of the way that he was playing in the summer that he had and eventually came and obviously ended up on KU. So there was a story a couple days ago in the Kansas City Star that said after his junior year, the best offer he had was to UMKC. Now, no shame against UMKC. You're playing D1 basketball. There's no shame in taking that offer. But his father told him to wait, that if he kept playing, bigger offers were going to come. And then they came. And then you eventually got the offer to Kansas, and obviously we know what is happening right now. So BK found this list. Ochai Agbaji is now averaging 10 points and 5 rebounds a game. This is the list of KU freshmen to do that over the last 25 years. This is the list that Agbaji is on right now. Josh Jackson, lottery pick. Andrew Wiggins, lottery pick. Joel Embiid, lottery pick. Ben McLemore, lottery pick. Brandon Rush, lottery pick. Nick Collison, lottery pick. Drew Gooden, lottery pick. Paul Pierce, lottery pick. Rafe LaFrance, I'm pretty sure he was in lottery as well. The last 25 years in KU fans, think about all the freshmen that you've had. That's the list that Ochai Agbaji has put himself on. If I told you guys back in December that your best player in a Big 12 game on the road, because I think that was their best player yesterday. We can argue about Dotson, who I thought was really good. I thought it was pretty clear that the best player on the floor was Ochai Agbaji. If I had told you in December that this would be the case, all of you would have said, I'm the biggest hot take artist. Shut up, Skip Bayless. You're done listening to the show. That's exactly what's happening. He is doing things that all-time greats, people that have their name in the rafters, people that took you to Final Fours, people that won national championships. This is one of the most remarkable stories right now in sports.
I'm not saying it's not a good story, because it really is. Like, I think it's a really, really good story. But we have to remember something. He always preached sample size, right, C-Dot? Josh Jackson played in 35 games his freshman year, and that's typically like McLemore. I know Embiid got hurt, didn't play in as many games, but he played the majority of the season, and Wiggins played the entire season. Agbaji's played 11 games. You know, and what do you have, 7 points against Kentucky, against high, really, really blue-blood competition? So I'm not crapping on Agbaji's story, because I think it's a great story. A dude that was, what, ranked in the 300s coming out, nobody knew about him, and now he ends up at Kansas, and he looks like a star. So he does. He has been phenomenal. KU would be absolutely cooked without him, for sure. But it's only been 11 games. So it sounds awesome to put him on that list right now. because that's kind of what he's done in 11 games. But I just don't want us to get ahead of ourselves a little bit. And he may come out, and he probably should come out if he has a strong finish to his season, because the NBA drafts on what they project that a player is going to do, not what he necessarily did do in college. But it's been 11 games. And so I hate saying pump the brakes on that, because it doesn't look – he looks like a guy that you can completely believe in. But we're talking 35 games with Josh Jackson, 30-plus games with Andrew Wiggins, that many games with Ben McLemore, and we're flipping upside down and putting him on this list with those guys after 11 games. I'm not ready to go there.
I guess I'm a little confused of – if he had been playing this whole season, you don't think he'd be doing this?
I don't know.
What I'm saying is if we add games against Vermont and some of those games in the non-conference, we don't think Agbaji is hooping right now? When I'm watching their team right now, you're telling me that at the beginning of the season, he wasn't as good as Charlie Moore? You're telling me with what I've seen, he wasn't busting Quentin Grimes' ass in practice? I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm trying to figure out what was happening behind the scenes, because the Agbaji thing, it just didn't happen. He was good from the moment he stepped on the court. I was at his first game, TCU, remember, they played him at home. It was kind of obvious how good he was. Yeah. So I'm just going to imagine this stuff was happening in practice the entire time. And Self, I think, actually smartly, if you're going back on it, hey, he's not threatening to transfer. We'll have him next year. We got a lot of talent right now, and he was doing it. This just doesn't appear to be a fluke to me. I'm with you. He hasn't done it for as long as Josh Jackson. He hasn't done it this long for Andrew Wiggins. But this just doesn't appear to be a fluke to me when I'm watching him play, that if you had given him the non-conference games early in the season against clearly superior talent, I think he might be averaging 17-6 this season.
Okay, well, I want to see him against Tennessee and Michigan State too, not just Vermont and Louisiana and Wofford. You know, I'd want to see him against those teams as well. I'm not saying Agbaji's not going to turn into a great player. He may. But he also, you know, young players, that some of them get off to a great start, then they struggle, then they got to find their way, they got to adjust, they got to do those things.
But, I mean, I would say for him, though, I mean, he also just dove in right in the deep end of the pool. You talk about Quentin Grimes and when he played well against Michigan State. I mean, he's played, what, two times as many games as him. He got to get through some of those early season lumps. I mean, I can't think of a time you throw a freshman in and you pull his red shirt at the beginning of conference play. So you don't get any of those games. And then, what, six games later, you ask him to be a starter on a team that desperately needs his offense? Like, this is a very unique situation that is happening. And if I didn't tell you he was a freshman, he looks like a kid that is a junior or senior. That's how he's playing right
now.
And
I agree with you on that. All I'm saying, it's been 11 games, and I think it's a little bit premature to put him on a list with Rafe LaFrenz and Ben McLemore and Andrew Wiggins and those guys. But I can't argue what we're seeing. I mean, Agbaji looks great. And he's a hell of a story from where he came from. When nobody knew about him, he ends up at Kansas, pulls off the red shirt, and he looks great. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm just saying it's been 11 games.
It is very hard to get you excited about regular season college basketball, but last night got you fired up.
It really did. I mean, last night, to me, I was on the edge of my seat for almost every possession. It felt like an NCAA tournament game for KU. And as crazy as this sounds, they're almost more exciting to watch now than they were when they're really good. And that's because they're fighting for their life. I mean, that was essentially a do-or-die game for KU last night against TCU if they're going to keep their Big 12 championship streak alive. So I thought last night was a really, really fun game to watch. It was tough. It made me nervous. It made me excited. It got me pumped for Dotson. It drove me crazy about Quentin Grimes. I thought last night's game was great. It felt like an NCAA tournament game to me. It felt like if KU lost that game, they're completely screwed and the championship streak ends.
I don't think you want to admit it, but you care about the streak way more than you give yourself credit.
Yeah, maybe.
Yesterday was a game that was solely about the streak. Now, it was about toughness and winning on the road yesterday, but we agree. If they had lost that game yesterday, today's show would be completely different, and we'd be having the conversation of the streak is coming to an end. This is the end for Kansas, at least in terms of the Big 12.
Yeah.
Obviously still making the tournament, doing all that stuff. To me, being on the edge of the seat tells me you really care about the streak, and that's perfectly fine. You're a KU fan.
Yeah.
But you always kind of spin it up, I don't care about the streak. How do they perform in March?
Well, I mean, I've given up.
It's obvious this team ain't going very far in March.
Exactly, and that's why it's different now. You know, it's like, you know, I don't think this team's making a run in March. I don't think they have it. But last night was a really exciting basketball game to me.
I agree.
Because typically against TCU on February 11th, ho-hum, KU's going to win this game. You know, talk to me in a week and a half, and let's see where we are when it comes to the streak. Last night, I couldn't take my eyes off of a regular season basketball game on the road in Fort Worth against TCU. I thought it was a hell of a basketball game. And I loved the fact that Dotson stepped up, too. I thought we saw the emergence of a really, really young guard that reminded me a little bit of Frank Mason, the way he played.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into meanwhile in the news. There is a story that is absolutely hilarious. We'll share it with you coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I want to read a couple texts to you guys before we get into Meanwhile in the News. We'll also get back into K-State and Texas coming up in just a little bit. Text line 69306 on the Pros Announce Eat with a Purpose text line. If George Mason can make the Final Four, so can this KU team. How the mighty have fallen, that's how we discuss the big, bad, mighty Kansas Jayhawks. If George Mason can make the Final Four, so can this team. He continues to go on. This KU team still has NBA talent. Vic can drop 30 at any point on anyone. Well, he has to be on the team in order to score 30 points.
He has to be with the program.
I don't know when Vic became RJ Barrett all of a sudden. If I asked you this, this is not Missouri fan Carrington talking. This is radio sports fan talking.
Got you.
What's more likely? KU loses in the first round of the NCAA tournament or goes to the Final Four? Which one would you pick?
I would say what's more likely?
If you had to pick.
Oh, getting bounced in the first round.
And I would say this is the first time we've said this about a Bill Self team in the last 15 years. I can't think, even when you guys were down on last year's team. Yeah. You got to admit, I was never down on last year's team the way other people were. Last year's team would beat this KU team by 15 points. Anywhere. At Allen, outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last year's team would beat this current KU team. Now, I understand why this KU team is down. Last year's team had Udoka. Last year's team had Silvio. Last year's team was undeniably more talented than this team. If Bill Self can find a way to win the Big 12 with this core of teams, this is the greatest coaching job I've maybe ever seen. This KU team, I think, has like 3.5 good players. Right now, I think they have 3.5 good players. And I think it depends on who the half is.
Is Grimes the half, you think?
No. I would say sometimes it's Mitch Lightfoot, sometimes it's KJ Lawson. It just depends. Now, yesterday you had 4 good players. You want to count up KJ Lawson? I'll give you 4.5. You want to count KJ Lawson and you want to give Mitch Lightfoot? I'll give it to you. But no, I'm not giving you Quentin Grimes, who had 5 points and fouled out. I'm not giving you Charlie Moore, who, I mean this in all seriousness, I would not trade one of MU's guards for Charlie Moore. I'm serious. I wouldn't trade Pickett. I wouldn't trade Pinson. I wouldn't trade Torrance Watson. I would not trade any of MU's guards for Charlie Moore. I was sitting there legitimately trying to figure out how he got to Kansas yesterday when I'm sitting there watching him. Then I went on Rivals. He was the 55th player in his recruit. You would never guess he was a top 75 recruit.
No.
Never guess. I would think if Charlie Moore went to play pickup basketball, I'm not sure if he's the first pick. I'm serious. I was sitting there watching the kid yesterday. And similar to Quentin Grimes, I see why they leave him open. No chance yesterday, Charlie Moore. I don't know what happened. You always talk about loving him up with Quentin Grimes. It's like 3 or 4 guys on this KU team that need to be loved up. And Charlie Moore might be at the list. Like, if I was a KU fan, Charlie Moore and Quentin Grimes would make me pull my hair out.
I'm to the point with Quentin Grimes and Charlie Moore. Loving them up may not work. It may be getting in their face. Seriously. I mean, that may be what it takes, because I think it was clear that they wanted Quentin Grimes to take some shots and build some confidence last night against TCU.
Yeah, I mean,
and he took the shots.
I think the TCU wanted him to do that, too.
And it didn't work. It didn't work. So I don't know what the answer is with Quentin Grimes. I refuse to believe that the guy has no talent. I mean, I was shocked how bad he was last night, even though he hasn't been good for the majority of the time. I thought he had a nice little foundation that he was starting to build with what he did against Oklahoma State.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get back into K-State as they travel to Texas today to try to continue their lead in the Big 12. But it's time for Meanwhile in the News.
Meanwhile in the News.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I've got some good news for you and some potentially upsetting news.
You're a f***ing newsman. Did I ever tell you otherwise? You punch me in the face.
The Drive Witness News.
So this first story popped up on my timeline. It is from Fox and Friends. I don't have any commentary about Fox and Friends. If that's what you choose to watch for news, that's perfectly fine.
That sounds like a little bit of a commentary without giving one.
If that's what you choose to watch, I can't tell you what to watch.
Yeah.
I believe this gentleman's name is Pete Hegseth. I'm not going to lie to
that
you.
That works.
I don't watch that show. But I want to play for you what he had to say, and then I want to make fun of it on the other end because, and I mean this in all seriousness, I don't care what your political affiliation is. This is one of the dumbest comments I've ever heard in my entire life.
As I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my hands ever.
Someone help me.
No, I inoculate myself. It's just not, germs are not a real thing. I can't see them. Therefore, they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all the
exactly.
bacteria.
I can't get sick.
This man on national TV said, I can't see them. Therefore, they are not real. Can I ask you guys a question? Have you ever seen the wind before? I've never seen the wind before. I don't know what the wind looks like. Do you believe in it? Have you ever seen gravity before? Do you believe in it?
Yeah, I believe in it.
He said, I can't see them, therefore it doesn't exist. So you're telling me that this man, after a nice bowl of chili, you know, your stomach kind of, you know, not settled.
I don't like chili.
I don't like it, but I'm assuming at some point this gentleman has had chili before.
What about ribs, too?
That's fine. Whatever food you want it to be.
Yeah, you need
so you go.
Things.
Yeah. And you got to go to the bathroom. Your stomach's kind of giving you the sound.
You got bubble guts.
It kind of sounds like a lawnmower trying to start, and you got to prime it first. Sure. You know that sound.
Yeah.
And then you go to the bathroom. This gentleman wants me to believe that after that, he doesn't wash his hands.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
He is one of the nastiest individuals I've ever heard and encountered in my entire life. That's nasty. Everybody can agree that's nasty. Yeah. I haven't washed my hands in 15 years because I don't believe in germs because I can't see them. What are you talking about?
I can't see them. Therefore, they're not real.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. It's one of the most ridiculous things ever. My dad always used to have this like little scrub brush that he would sit on the sink, you know, in the bathroom. I'm like, what do you use that little brush for? Is that like to clean the sink? He goes, no, what you do is, this is what he taught me when I was a kid. Use that brush to get under your fingernails to get all the germs out and all the bacteria. How can you not wash your hands after you go to the bathroom? Forget about that part. Forget about number two, like you were talking about, C-Dot. Just number one, you ought to wash your hands going into a bathroom. I'm actually very judgmental on people that don't wash their hands when they run out of the bathroom.
Will you say something?
Huh?
Will you say something?
No, I won't. I'll never say anything. But I think it's disgusting. Like, how do you go into the bathroom, even if you're just, you know, doing number one, man, and then you choose not to wash your hands? I think that's disgusting, especially when you work around a bunch of keyboards and stuff, you're at the office, whatever. Now, I'm not going to lie. If I get up at like 4 in the morning, I got to go to the bathroom and I go pee, I may not wash my hands and go back to bed.
I'm not saying that anybody needs to be 100% from the field. I'm not 100% from the field. You're not 100% from the field. But I've certainly washed my hands in the last 10 years. Someone that brings this up. So does this guy not believe in oxygen? I don't know what oxygen looks like, mm-hmm. but I've never seen it before. I know that oxygen exists.
Have you seen atoms?
Never.
Yeah, me either.
This makes absolutely no sense if that was the case. Someone asked if that was the hilarious news story. That was actually not the hilarious news story, even though it is kind of funny. This is the story. It sounds like the plot for Hangover 4.
In Houston, police say that somebody broke into an abandoned home to smoke pot, and lo and behold, what they found was a tiger! A tiger! At first, the person thought, I am hallucinating, that was not pot! But he or she called police anonymously. Officers say the 300-pounder, you know, the tiger, was in what they call the rinky-dink cage in the garage. So they're going to have to take the tigress to a facility that knows how to handle exotic animals. No word on charges against the homeowner.
Okay, that is weird.
It is straight out of Hangover. You know it is.
So I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm kind of confused at this. In the beginning of the story, didn't they say that the house was abandoned, but yet they were housing the tiger there?
Well, I think somebody lived there, but there was nobody in the home at the time other than the tiger.
So this guy broke into somebody's house
to smoke weed.
Correct. And was like, yo, I'm about to get blazed here. He then walks in. He sees my guy Tony right there.
Yeah.
And it was like, this cannot be real. There's a tiger here.
Yeah.
And thought that maybe he was smoking something that was just not sativa, not indigo. He thought he was maybe smoking, put a little angel dust in or something.
Was it Dwayne Bowe's, like, what was it, Kush? Is that what he was smoking, maybe?
Bubba Kush. Purple Bubba Kush.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what Dwayne Bowe had.
This legitimately sounds like the plot for Hangover 4. I ain't never been that high before.
Who breaks into
I've never been high either, tell my employer, but.
Who breaks into a home to smoke weed? Can't you just not break and enter to go blaze up, to pull a couple of bongskis?
You don't have your own home. You don't have a car that you can smoke weed in.
Yeah, like, you could do that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he was trying to go for a different experience.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And then he found a tiger. And they didn't believe that it was actually, they thought they were hallucinating, correct?
A pet tiger.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that story a couple days ago about the pet alligator where they had it was like a comfort animal. Like, come on now.
Well, remember, there was a guy here in Kansas City in the area that had
a pet alligator. Yeah, that was the alligator guy. Yeah. I understand you got a pet dog. or a pet cat
or
a pet bird.
Those little pig things are big now. People are getting the pigs.
This ain't Scarface. We're not domesticating the tiger.
Yeah,
that ain't happening.
This ain't Scarface. Like, you don't need pet tigers.
My little cat bites me sometimes, man. What if a tiger gets pissed? Yeah.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll all have some player props. And KU reminds me of a very popular TV character. I'll tell you who it is next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a little bit, we have an unpopular opinion to get to. I was reading Sam Mellinger's minute, and he said something really interesting. And there was something I noticed on ESPN's college basketball broadcast that we'll talk about coming up in a little bit in the 4 o'clock hour. You think a star was born last night for KU? Plus, we'll go around the NFL. A lot of NFL news today. Kyler Murray, Antonio Brown has asked for a trade. The Lions owner came out today and said that they don't want bad people on their team, and referring to Kareem Hunt. A lot of things has happened in the NFL over the last 24 hours. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But with all this talk about KU and the streak, I don't want to forget that the team actually leading the Big 12 is not Iowa State. It is not KU. It is the Kansas State Wildcats, and they are playing in Austin today against the Texas Longhorns. You can hear that game right here on 610 Sports Radio starting at 7 o'clock. Let's get to it. Player props.
Let's give props with the guys from The Drive.
All right, so Bovada doesn't have props for K-State, Texas tonight. So if you are mad at any of these, just blame it all on me.
The big disrespect.
I will take full blame for any of these that you dislike. So I'm going to set the over-under on Barry Brown points tonight at 15.5. 15.5 as the over-under for Barry Brown points tonight against Texas.
I'm going to take the over on Barry Brown. I think with Jada's hand injury, they're going to need somebody to step up, and I think Barry Brown is the person to kind of absorb that offense a little bit. Like, let's not let the season-long stats kind of take you away from what Jada was providing. Last four games, he scored double digits. He's been a big defender, energy guy, get blocks, a little bit of a do-everything guy for them. Somebody's got to step up. I think the offense is going to come from a couple different places. I'll give some of it to Barry Brown. I'll take the over on Barry Brown having 16 or more points today.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well, but I'm going to do it for a different reason. Last time K-State played Texas, I mean, they got smoked. I mean, they lost by 20, and that game was in Manhattan. But that was also before K-State became K-State, the team that we're seeing right now. They didn't have Dean Wade in that game. I think Mike McGurl is going to be the guy that steps up and gives them the points that they need tonight with Jada out of the lineup. But I think Barry Brown's going to be freed up by having Dean Wade back in the lineup. Like, they didn't have him that first time against Texas, so I'm going to take the over, but that's because I think Texas is going to be paying a lot more attention to Dean Wade.
Next over-under for you is Dean Wade. Over-under 22.5. for points and rebounds. So total points plus rebounds, 22.5 is the over-under.
I'm going to take the under on this. I mean, this gives him 15-7, and he hits the under on this one. So I am going to take the under on 22.5. I think he plays well. I just think that number's a little bit too big. I'll take the under on Dean Wade tonight.
I'm taking the under, too, because I don't think they're going to let Dean Wade beat him. You know, I think Barry Brown's going to be freed up. I think they'll lock on Dean Wade pretty well. And Texas is a pretty good defensive team, with the exception of that game. They lost to Georgia in the Big 12 SEC challenge. I mean, well, they gave up, 98, I think, to Georgia. Other than that, Texas has been a pretty decent defensive team this season, so I'm going to take the under. I think they'll keep them under 22.5 total points and rebounds.
I had a tough time setting this line, so I'll be interested to see where you guys go on it. Over under three players for K-State tonight that reach double figures. Three players in double figures.
That's a good one. I would probably say under just because I think it pushes. If you had asked me 2.5, I probably would have taken the over. I mean, you're basically asking me, do I think four players are going to do it today? I'll take the no on four. I like where the line is set. Again, I take the over on 2.5 at three. I think it probably pushes on this one. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I got to take the under too. I mean, they've only got three guys averaging, you know, in double figures. And Barry Brown and Dean Wade and Kamau Stokes.
Sneed's at 9.8, so he's basically there.
You're right, but I'm going to take the under on this one, too. I think the Texas is at home, pretty good home team. As I said, I think they're a good defensive team. I'm going to take the under on this one, too.
I think turnovers are going to be a pretty big part of tonight's game. If you're K-State, if they win, I think it probably goes over on this. But over under 12.5 turnovers tonight for Texas. 12.5 turnovers forced by Kansas State tonight.
I'm going to take the under slightly. I still think K-State protects the ball in this one. I don't think Jada really makes a huge difference in this one. K-State's done a good job protecting the ball. put me 10, 11, 12. I don't think K-State turns the ball over a whole
lot
in this one.
What about the other side of it? That's kind of what I'm going for here. Yeah. How many turnovers they force by Texas?
Oh, my apologies.
It's all good.
I'm not going to lie. I don't watch enough Texas to really know in this context. Just put me at an over. Put me at 13, 14 for Texas.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on this, too. I mean, K-State is just locked down defensively. I mean, that's why K-State wins. I've been saying defense travels, and it does for K-State. And one of the things we touched on yesterday, and the reason that K-State's leading the Big 12 right now and KU is not, is KU's not the same team on the road as they are at home. K-State is the same team everywhere they go. And defense does travel for them. So I think they're going to turn Texas over more than 12.5 times. I'm taking the over.
I think it's going to be an important part of the game tonight. Texas is third in the Big 12 in taking care of the ball. K-State is the best at getting opposing teams to turn the ball over. Over-under tonight for Kansas State points. The over-under on this is from Bovada, and it is set at 60.5.
I'm going to take the slight over on this one. I don't feel too great about it. I can see K-State scoring 65 points. I mean, scoring under 60 points in a college basketball game. Goodness gracious. I think K-State's a little better than that. I'll take the over on 60.5 for K-State tonight.
I think K-State would like for this game to be under because I think if it's under, they win this game. That's the kind of game that they want to get into where they can slow it down, play lockdown defense. I don't see how you hold Texas. I don't know. This is a tough one because I think K-State would love to keep it under 60. But I think they're going to go over 60. I know they don't have Cartier-Jada tonight in this game because of the hand injury. But I'm going to take the over on this one for K-State. I think they'll score more than 60.5.
I was surprised what you said about Mike McGurl, and that ends our prop segment for the day. McGurl, this was his last, like, 9 games for him. He scored 0 against Iowa State. Trying to line my numbers up here on college basketball reference. 0-3-2-9-1-4-5-0 in their last game against Baylor. Man, if you could get him to step up in Jada's absence and give you another guy off the bench, that would certainly alleviate a lot of the pressure. I like K-State's secondary player. It's kind of crazy. McGurl, I feel like maybe we all kind of overvalued him a lot because he played so well last year in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, he only has double digits one time this season. That was a couple of weeks ago. Or I guess probably about a month ago now.
We kind of
go back 8 games or so. I mean, he just hasn't been a big player for them offensively that if he can kind of absorb some of the offense that you're going to lose in that one, that would certainly be a big plus for this K-State squad.
Yeah, I don't think they've needed him to score. I think that's part of the deal, right? I mean, the only loss in there was to Texas A&M. So they haven't really needed him to step up and hit some shots. And I think Mike McGurl, and I'm not going to lie to you, I think part of my reasoning is going back to what I saw in the NCAA tournament when they needed to count on him. And I think McGurl's going to get the start tonight, and I think he will step up. I think he has the possibility to be really good. So, yeah, I think McGurl's going to be the dude tonight.
Coming up in just a little bit, I've got an unpopular opinion. Plus, KU reminds me of a movie, and there was something very funny I saw on the ESPN broadcast. We'll talk about that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
It's the unpopular opinion of the week.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
I'm telling you guys, it's wrong. It's wrong!
That's my opinion!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, you think there was a star born in last night's KU game. We'll talk about that. Plus, there were some big things that Fran Fraschilla said in the KU broadcast last night. KU got a much needed, I would say hard-fought victory against TCU to certainly keep them in the race. Depending on what K-State does, we can be really back in the exact same spots like Groundhog's Day every year in the Big 12. We'll talk about that. There was something I noticed in ESPN's broadcast yesterday we'll talk about coming up momentarily, but one of my favorite reads every week is Mellinger's Minute. I don't know if you guys do this or read it or not, but it's basically people on Twitter, people on Facebook. They ask my guy Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star various questions and he answers them. It's always a really entertaining piece. So Sam Mellinger and I, we have this like back and forth because you guys know my feeling that I hate the winter. The winter sucks.
The winter.
Sam
awful.
Is the opposite. Sam loves the winter. He calls himself a winter truther, where you know me, I'm the opposite. I am a summer truther.
Sure.
So somebody asked him a question about February, and then it got me thinking this. I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show. February is by far and away the worst month of the year. What? I don't even really know what second would be. If we're talking about on the calendar, what would you find to even be comparable? Because in March, We get the NCAA tournament, and it's really close to spring, so it's starting to get warm. So you're kind of away from the snow and ice of the early part of the winter, and you're starting to transition. Not saying that it can't snow in March, but for the most part, you're starting to get away from it. Baseball is right around the corner, mm-hmm. and you got the NCAA tournament, Big 12 tournaments in town. January, you've got the NFL playoffs. You've got New Year's Day. So you've got all the big college football stuff. You've got the College Football National Championship. You also have a holiday in the middle with Martin Luther King Day. January is a strong month. Now, I hate that it's cold, but I chose to live in Kansas City, so I got to deal with the cold. What's good about February? You just spent all this money on your lady for Christmas, and now Hallmark or Russell Stover decided to give you fake Christmas in the middle of it. So you can basically buy her whatever you didn't get her for Christmas that she really wanted. Now she's dropping hints for the next 6 weeks knowing you got to turn right back around and buy her something. I say this all the time. I feel bad for my brothers out there that you got a Christmas. Maybe you got, there's one guy listening right now that has this scenario. His wife's birthday is like early December, the 8th. Then he's got Christmas. Then their anniversaries like January 25th. And then you get Valentine's Day. I mean, just taking shot after shot after shot after shot. I pray for that gentleman out there that has to shell it out. I'm telling you, give me one reason that February is not the worst month in our calendar.
Because it's closer, 1 month closer to summer. It's 1 month closer to flip-flops and t-shirts and shorts. January, to me, is the worst month, and it's not even close. I mean, I want to be outside. I look at it solely for the weather part of it. I mean, pitchers and catchers reported today. You got spring training. Baseball's right around the corner.
You've been outside the last few days?
Yeah, but we're getting closer. Like, I was driving home two nights ago when we had a little bit of sunshine, and it wasn't dark when I got home. I mean, it's staying lighter outside. We're getting closer to summer. We're getting closer to spring. So, to me, January is the absolute worst because you get past
Christmas. Agree this year was not close. The January in Kansas City was infinitely better than February.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about sports, we talk about
just
weather.
Life.
No, I hate January. January's awful. I've always hated it.
I just know back in January, you thought your team was going to the Super Bowl January. Now in February, you're watching AAF football inside.
I'm not talking about from the sports perspective. I hate having to layer up to go outside. I hate having
it was warmer in January than it has been in February.
Sucks because it's not closer to summer. Give me February, give me March. Any month that gets me closer to summer is a better month for me.
But I would just
not even close.
But I would just say for us, you have to factor in the sports. Like you gotta factor in what you do during the month. January is way more exciting of a month because there's just more things to watch. Right now, you're not a big NBA guy. You're not watching it.
I'm watching a little bit of the NBA. But
Smidgens of the NBA.
Mine is, like, what I hate is when it gets, the sun goes down at 4:30, 5 o'clock every day. You know, so we leave here and it's dark. I hate that. I hate the fact that it's freezing and I got to wear 5 layers in January. At least in February, we're getting close, man. We're getting close to March Madness. We're getting closer to summer.
I will gladly trade that for football on Sundays, the national championship coming up in college football.
I want to be outside.
I want to be outside and be able to
and
go
this year
hang out on my deck.
Easier to be outside during January than it has been in February.
I mean, look, were de-icing other people's cars last week, and that was so now making it seem like February is this extra spring month. You're not being honest about what February is. February sucks.
Typically, January is worse than February. I'm not going to lie and say we didn't have a nice little pocket there that I got out on the golf course a couple of times in January. That happened. That actually happened. But seriously, January is awful. My wife goes to work and it's dark. She gets home and it's dark. I go home and it's dark. You know, I like being outside. I like the sun being up until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I just like the warm weather. I'll take that anytime.
According to current results, there's a difference of exactly 4 degrees in terms of what January is compared to February. And in February, we get no sports. Give me January.
Text line 69306. My daughter's birthday is December 21st. My wife's is December 24th. Then we have Christmas, then Valentine's Day. Those are the people that you got to pray for. Those are the people you got to pray for.
My wife's birthday is 2 weeks after Valentine's Day, too. So I'm getting double dinged this month.
My girlfriend's was on January 24th.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I feel bad for you guys. I'm trying to tell you, February, it's not even close. February, by far and away, is the worst month of the year. So I was watching the KU game yesterday, and this is what I decided. People always get on me for this. I'm not a huge fan of Mission Impossible. The reason I'm not a huge fan of Mission Impossible is Ethan Hunt is a regular person. Like, he's not a superhero, right? But every time I watch Mission Impossible, there's like four times in the movie I'm like, yo, he should have died.
Yeah, he's dead.
Like, I forgot it was, I think it was a Ghost Protocol. Mm-hmm. He literally is driving on the motorcycle at like 70 miles an hour, no helmet, gets in a car wreck, and then just gets up. No broken bones. And I'm like, all right, come on now. One, he literally drowns to death and then comes back in the exact next scene. I'm like, all right, this is where the end of Mission Impossible is. You're telling me that's not Kansas basketball? I thought KU was dead yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Oh, I thought this was the end of KU. I mean, we've seen him come back from the dead. It doesn't matter if Udoka's out. Doesn't matter if Silvio's out. Doesn't matter if the Morris twins are out here shooting people with BB guns. Doesn't matter if Sharon Collins is doing things allegedly in elevators. They just continue to come back like Ethan Hunt. I'm telling you, KU, they are Mission Impossible. That's who they are. They are Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. They should have died a long time ago, but yet they continue to keep making the same movie and the same movie. And I'm not going to lie to you. I will keep going to see it.
You were doubting them, though, yesterday, right? I mean, the last few days you've been doubting them.
I'm still fully on board with K-State. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I'm riding with K-State here. Right. Now, I maybe have already cursed them because the moment I ride with them, guys on their team get hurt, something I'm pretty used to. But no, I'm riding with K-State. This is the first time I'm off. But I am a little fearful that I chose to get on the wrong team's bandwagon here because the same thing's going to happen. But no, I'm officially off. I'm always on the I'm not picking anybody else. I'm riding with K-State because I think K-State's better than them.
I see where you're going with this. I mean, didn't they shoot like a – was it the – no, which was the one where they had Philip Seymour Hoffman where they shot like a freaking missile at him, you know, on the bridge, and Tom Cruise magically survived that. That is KU, and that is kind of what it felt like last night. They blew, what, a 9-point lead late in that game, but somehow they managed to win this thing in overtime. And then we come into work today, and Cartier Jada has a hand that needs surgery, and he's going to be out indefinitely.
I'm trying to tell you, it's like
there's basketball gods that hate everybody except for Kansas.
It's like Ethan Hunt, man. I'm trying to tell you, that's what it is. KU is like Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. You can't kill him. It doesn't matter what happens. You can shoot him too. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I used to like always feel like this. Like, I would watch Steven Seagal movies and mm-hmm. Claude Van Damme, and I'm like, how do you walk into a fight? Everybody has a gun, you have a knife, and yet you walk away from this. Like, that's not how real life
badass,
is.
Man.
Like, that's not how real life is. That even at 6-7 years old, I knew that was off. I knew it was a little bit
Hollywood.
Odd. I feel the exact same way now.
Yeah.
You can't lose three starters. Marcus Garrett on the bench with an ankle injury. Quentin Grimes playing absolutely terrible. And then still win the league. It's not supposed to work that way. But that's what's going to happen for KU. They are absolutely going to win the Big 12. They're going to have the same day they always have. Holly's going to help them wheel out the stuff. She's going to have all the rings. And I'm telling you, I'm taking off work. If KU wins a share of this league, that next day I'm taking off. I'm taking a personal day. I don't want to be here for that day.
You don't want to deal with it?
I don't want to be here for that. I'm here every day. I'm not here for that day.
What are they going to do for senior day then? Since they don't have any seniors anymore.
I don't know what they're going to do. They're
going to have Abaji out there. They're going to have him talk to the crowd because he's going to the NBA draft.
I'm not here. And I never get salty about KU day. You guys know the day I'm talking about because I always call it Kiss the Ring Day where they wheel all the stuff out there and then everybody in the media has to kiss the ring of KU and how great they are. I ain't showing up this year for that because this team's bad. Like, we all can acknowledge this team is bad. I don't care if you cheer for KU, Missouri, K-State, Duke, Louisville. If you watch this KU basketball team play for any length of time the way I've watched them, they are not good.
They have starters who wouldn't start for Missouri.
No, they don't. Like, Charlie Moore, I'm serious. You guys think I'm joking. Charlie Moore would not start in Missouri.
Would Grimes? Because I don't think he would.
Right now, no. Early in the season, yeah. Right now, Grimes would not start in Missouri. Like, they got guys that wouldn't start in Missouri. They got guys that I legitimately watch them and, like, they stink.
And they're still winning, though.
And they still – I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if this KU team had played at the very beginning of the season, like, there was a way. Now, I know. They got all the injuries and all that stuff. I'm not taking away. I obviously know what has happened.
Yeah.
If you could take the KU team that played last night – and you put them at the beginning of the season, this is a 6 seed, a 7 seed.
Yeah.
If you let this 7 seed win the Big 12, this 6 seed win the Big 12, I'm telling you, every other coach in the Big 12 should resign. All other 9 coaches should just start. Every program should start over.
They should pack it in.
If you can't beat this year's KU team, you should have to start over as a basketball program.
I mean, that's a little strong, C-Dot.
If you can't beat this year's KU basketball team, you should have to start over as a basketball program. I'm serious. You have to start over.
This conference is supposed to get like 8 teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
Just start over.
Come on now. I mean, you've still got a bunch of McDonald's All-Americans on this squad, right? I mean, I know Quentin Grimes has been awful, but McCormick.
This KU team would finish 7th in the ACC. This KU team would finish 7th.
That I can get behind.
Now, I'm not one of
those. It's a tournament team, though. It's a tournament team.
Yeah, so is Baylor. Yeah. So is TCU.
So is more than half the conference.
Yeah, they're a tournament. This KU team, if you took this team that we're watching right now and put them at the beginning of the year, they are a six seed. There's nothing wrong with making the NCAA tournament. Obviously, no one would fault you based on all the injuries and things that have happened. If Bill finds a way to win with this team, no team will ever be able to win the conference.
I'm really
you got to be able to get this year's
team. I'm really trying to disagree with you, but I got nothing on this because you're right. This team, I mean, before Malik Newman went crazy last year, I thought that team was the worst team that they had, but at least they had Devontae Graham. A senior. They don't even have that this year. You're right. This team's not good.
That you know last year, I never wavered on last year's KU team. Mm-hmm. I always was like, Steve's better than you guys. Devontae Graham's better than you guys. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Any team that has to depend on Charlie Moore, that team's not good.
Now, KU doesn't depend on Charlie Moore. They don't depend on Charlie Moore.
He plays meaningful minutes.
He's in their rotation. That's depending.
He's in their rotation.
Any team that depends on Charlie Moore, Quentin Grimes, Mitch Lightfoot depends on
him. 15 minutes a game in their last four games. Yeah, that's a legitimate part.
You depend on Dedrick Lawson.
I agree, but you agree with me, though, that tomorrow, if Charlie Moore said, I don't want to play basketball anymore, that would be bad for KU.
Yeah, because then they lose depth, which is scary.
That this team is dependent on Charlie Moore at least being a healthy body at this point. At least a healthy body at this point. That's scary. Then, I mean, foul trouble yesterday. Tien got in the game yesterday. I mean, this KU team is running on bare bones.
If that team
right
went
now.
Double overtime last night, they were going to go down. And it was going to be ugly in double OT. They didn't have anybody left.
Those of you that played Oregon Trail when we were a kid, like, they are operating on, like, meager rations right now. This is as bare bones as I've ever seen KU. I'm telling you, if you can't beat KU that is missing three starters, plus Marcus Garrett, plus their top recruit, if you can't beat this KU team, I'm telling you, you should fire your coach and start over as a basketball
program. Jamie Dixon ought to be fired.
Everybody should start over if you can't beat – if just – all one team's got to do is beat them.
Yeah.
Just one team's got to do. This streak is going to 50 if they win this year. This streak's going to 100 if they win this year. You'll never be able to convince me you can beat KU if you can't beat them right now. Coming up in 2 minutes, you think a star was born yesterday. Plus, Fran Fraschilla said some very interesting things in the broadcast. We'll get into it. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.